Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
And one summer afternoon, Caddy Master gave me Tony's bag. I was incredibly awestruck.
Now, was this like you and Judge Smells when you're trying to pick his brain, but he's like, well, the world needs ditch diggers too, son. How did that go down?
It was a little bit like that, to be honest, the first couple of times I gaddied for him. But it took me a while to tell him. Like, I didn't just, you know, on the second fairway say, so Mr. Kornheiser, I really want to work for ESPN. Like, it took a little while.
Sure. That's great. And then, of course, the follow-up, the last question I have to ask is, do you remember how he shot that day? Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast.
On the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Chuck.
Happy National Beer Day.
Ooh.
Right? Now, I can't think of something worse to go with beer, but it's also National Coffee Cake Day. Don't quite
beer
get that?
Beer goes with everything.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then ironically, it is also World Health Day.
Oh.
Now, that's... Now, see, this is where I don't get it.
How ironic.
That's World Health Day. The other ones are just national.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. Like, it's not World Beer Day. It's just National Beer Day.
And
it's not National Health Day. It's World Health Day. Anyway, welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast. Jam-packed episode. We all know what that means. Uh-huh. We're excited. It's our eclipse, our total eclipse of the heart. Is that Roxy's been singing that all day.
Yep.
Spoiler for later.
Yeah, tomorrow it's happening.
Yeah, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's already here.
Some of you may get total coverage.
Total coverage. Some
I think here in New York, it's like 90%.
90%? Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very reminiscent of 2017, I believe, was the last one.
Yes, it was.
We have pictures with our glasses and all that stuff. Yep. Well, we're going to get into all that. Okay. We've got plenty of time for that. Let's start with some corrections. Let's just get them out of the way. We heard from Aaron Moss, episode 236. Choxy, hope you had a great Easter. At the beginning of the episode, you said happy Easter and Passover. This year, Easter and Passover do not fall around the same time like previous years.
Oops.
First night of Passover is April 22nd, which is also Earth Day.
Mm.
This is because in the Jewish calendar, it is also a leap year this year, but unlike the Gregorian calendar, an entire month is added around this time of the year.
Oh, wait, an entire month?
Information for life.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm calling that, okay? Also, sorry, Roxy, I agree with Chuck. Napkins go on the left side of the plate.
Oh.
I can't believe neither of you said this, but it sounds like Roxy Chuck Todd's the napkin and puts it on the other side. We're getting to all of this. We had so many comments.
I know.
On this. I will say,
I'm surprised, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. Okay. He also says, I'll get you out of here on this. My 8-year-old masculine child and 5-year-old non-masculine child both put peanut butter on waffles, but not pancakes.
Oh, interesting.
That's very interesting. Huh. Again, Aaron Moss, episode 236. Thanks for the correction. I also have, no one wrote in on this. I did my own research on this one. I screwed up. Jen Babish, I said last time, had Purdue in the final game. She does, and she had Iowa State.
Oh.
So unfortunately, she's up there, but I don't think she has a chance now. I haven't seen the rest of her bracket, but I had that wrong, so I just wanted to make note of that. So anyway, all right, Roxy, we have to get through all this. Real quick, bowling segment. Here we go.
Okay.
It was a miserable week.
Yeah, it really was.
We did not have a good time.
I hated this week.
So much that... I almost said I am done with the league. Mm-hmm. I might take our team out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I might take next week off. Mm-hmm. I've already discussed that with you because I was not proud of myself.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do anything majorly wrong. I just got very frustrated.
It was the reaction with the
other team.
Yes.
And
we all were frustrated, but
we need some more time to Chuck needs some more time to cool off
before
we're going to talk about that.
Me
so
too.
We're going to do that maybe next episode.
Kay.
But we just wanted to give you the updates because Roxy came up with this clever way of doing it.
Uh-huh.
Roxy led all scores in the first game.
I sure did.
She bowled a Ben Carton.
I did.
You bowled a Ben Carton. But then the thing that we don't understand is in game two, you more than flushed the mouse.
Oh my gosh.
And you bowled a chewy.
I mushed the flouse. That's what happened.
You bowled a chewy. Chuck here rolled a Jason Fraley in the first game and a Sam Berger in the second
episode.
There
you go. Yeah, you were pretty consistent.
If you know, you know, Littles. Yep. We're just going to rush through that because we are so excited.
Yes.
How much fun is this? As advertised, this is our big eclipse show.
Yeah.
So we can't think of a better way to celebrate than bringing back It's just the way the math worked out. We figured this out during the interview. I think it was episode 208, and this is episode 308.
Yes.
So, Littles, it is our great pleasure to bring back NASA's own episode 208, Noah Petro. Hey, Noah, how's it going?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, we're great. Now, this is an important event we have coming up on us here.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are a little scared. I just saw in the news yesterday, there are states posting state of emergencies.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know anything about that, but let's get into it. It's so great to have you back. So maybe for the new listeners or the listeners that for some dumb reason just never listened to your episode, let's take a quick 30 seconds to a minute and go back into what you do and
how they
would probably know you from the Tony Kornheiser podcast.
So I am a planetary scientist with NASA. I work at the Goddard Space Flight Center. I am a lunar enthusiast, lunar scientist. And so I have participated in Kornheiser's podcast in talking about all things space.
Yes.
I am lovingly referred to as the NASA correspondent, their man at NASA, what have you. But I'm just this, you know, really enthusiastic NASA employee who also happens to have this connection with the show. And so I am sometimes referenced in connection to all things NASA, even though I'm just this guy who works at NASA, nothing special.
No,
and
just so this I enthusiast, have, as you, your
exactly.
words, your words, not
exactly.
mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly. So, and you know, with the moon and the eclipse and supermoons, Kornheiser talks about the moons all the time, the moon all the time, and obviously there's lots of Uranus references as well. And so, anytime there's anything NASA related, my ears perk up, and I'm happy to chime in.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, and you're friends with Nigel as well, right?
Yeah, so I'm friendly with Nigel, and you know, I know he's a huge lunar enthusiast back to his days working in the coal mines in Northern England and all that. So, oh, and by the way, happy belated birthday, Nigel.
Yes.
So,
oh, yeah.
That was my entree to the show was, hey, let's get you snuck into the Goddard gates because they don't like illegal immigrants coming under the center. And no, you know, he has been great at helping get lunar and NASA news onto the show.
Yeah.
To a huge audience, to the connective tissue. And so I have sort of embraced that, and I'm really thrilled for his enthusiasm to share this really cool stuff that we're doing in space.
Yeah. Well, and now, as Roxy has said in the past, you snooze, you lose. So mm-hmm. we got you this time.
Yep.
So, because we have this major event happening tomorrow.
Yes.
This is our big eclipse episode, we're calling
mm-hmm.
it. And so can we talk all about that? I mean, now didn't we just have one of these like a couple summers ago?
So yeah, there was a total solar eclipse that crossed the country in 2017.
Right.
Which is amazing to think that that's what now, how many years ago? It's one kid ago for me.
And 7, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Did I do that
7
math?
7 years. I don't even pretend. I would have said 4 years, but of course a lot was happening in the last 4 years.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then we
yes.
had an eclipse last year in 2023. We had an annular eclipse that crisscrossed the country. So it was not a total eclipse. So we've had, in the last 5 years, prior to Monday, 2 eclipses of different solar eclipses of slightly different flavors. And then tomorrow we will have this total solar eclipse that goes from Mexico up through Texas, Ohio, upstate New York, out through coastal Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been wonderful because in our lifetimes, we've now had this kind of triad of eclipses, which is just really, really awesome.
Now, the one thing I remember about said was that Roxy went out and had to buy glasses. Now, this is before we even started this podcast.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
You had to go out and buy glasses. Now, I'm seeing these glasses again. So let's talk about because
eye safety.
Eye safety. Yeah.
Yes.
No, really, because I've now I don't know if this is I don't want to call it a scam, but I've seen people states posting statewide emergencies.
Right.
For this day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that really needs to happen? I mean, what are we talking here?
So what I'm here. OK, so this, you know, should Georgia have a statewide emergency for this? No, they're not in the path of totality. The states that have parts of their state in the path of totality, what they're anticipating is this rush of people to this 100-mile wide band that crisscrosses the country. So imagine having Taylor Swift concerts in a 1,000-mile stretch of the country. You have people hoarding into the center part of that area. So those states, and I saw, you know, New York has this, Connecticut had signs up about it. Connecticut doesn't have a path of totality, but they're anticipating hordes of people driving. And so congested roads and huge throngs of people. So I think they're preparing for a massive onslaught of humanity. 30 million people supposedly will be migrating to the path of totality.
Yep.
Now, what the states are doing is preparing for that. I think that's wise. But I don't want people to panic because it's not, I hear all of this, oh, is it bad for kids or dogs? Like, does your dog ever actually look at the sun? If the answer is no, your dog will be fine.
Right. Right.
Does your kid ever go out and stare at the sun? If the answer is yes, then the problem is already there. The eclipse isn't going to do anything extra. Now,
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but that's funny. No, it's true. You've got other issues.
We want people to enjoy this safely. And so eye safety is important. And fortunately, humans have evolved really intelligently not to look at the sun. You go out on a bright, sunny day, you catch a glimpse of the sun. Oh, wow, it's bright. I'm not going to stare at
it. First thing
that
you do is you put your hand up in front of it. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go touch that hot thing. Now, as an eclipse happens, and particularly the closer you are to this path of totality, less and less sun will be blocked by the moon. And so you might have a natural instinct to say, well, look at just that slender bit of the sun poking up. I can look at that. Now, It won't be nearly as intense as the bright full sun. It's still dumping a lot of energy into your eyeballs.
Yep.
So We want everybody to enjoy this eclipse safely. And so if you have an opportunity to get solar viewing glasses, whether it's at a local eye doctor, optometrist, hardware store, library, wherever you have an opportunity to get one, you want to be able to get those, because as long as the sun is visible, you cannot look at the sun except through those solar viewing glasses.
So let's pause there for a second, because I know you're not an eye doctor or an eye specialist, so we're not claiming you are or anything like that.
Right.
But there is a different, I'm going to ask the dopey question because I'm Chuck.
Nope.
Now, so there is definitely a difference between just regular sunglasses. So you shouldn't do that.
100%. Those nice sunglasses that you get at Thanksgiving at the Sunglass Hut, that's not going to work.
Okay.
You might have the nicest pair of Ray-Bans imaginable, but they still let too much light through.
Uh-huh.
These solar viewing glasses only let the faintest amount of sunlight through. You should not be able to see a bright hallway light, a bright light of a street sign, anything like that. Any light that comes through that's not from the sun is too much. And so if you have any question about whether or not the glasses you have are good or not, put them on in a bright living room or a bright space. And if you see any lights coming through them, they're no good.
Okay.
Gotcha.
The NASA website, if you go to go.nasa.gov/eclipse2024, a nice long URL for everybody to enjoy.
Right.
We have a host of information about how to tell if your glasses are safe or not, as well as methods to do what we call indirect viewing, where you project the sun onto something else. You use a colander and look through that. There are many ways you can enjoy the eclipse without actually having to look at the sun. If you're in the path of totality, it's important to remember that once totality happens, once the moon completely blocks the sun, take your glasses off because you won't see anything. And that's when the main show happens.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's when the glory, the spectacle of the eclipse occurs. Take those glasses off and soak up the beauty of the eclipse if you're in the path of totality. If you're anywhere outside of the path of totality, keep those glasses on.
Yep.
Okay, great. Now, if for some reason they don't want to go outside, they're scared or they can't see it or whatever, is there another way we can witness the greatness?
Yeah, you know, as with everything nowadays, we're going to be streaming the eclipse live on TV. So if you go to NASA TV, just fire up your Google machine and look for NASA TV. And we'll have a live broadcast from across the path of totality and given all of the information that we need to share with the world about this incredible event.
All right. And real quick, plug the website again.
Yeah. So it's go.nasa.gov/eclipse2024.
And besides going back and listening to episode 208, how can we find you? Can we follow you on Instagram or anything like that?
I am on the Insta, and it's funny you mentioned that. My username on Instagram is, there's only a few Noah Petros in the universe right now. I'm one of them, obviously. You can follow me on Instagram at petro.noah is my Instagram account.
Okay, great.
For those that are Instagram savvy. And I will post all sorts of fun eclipse stuff if I remember to on Monday.
All right.
Wow. So informative.
Good to know.
You know, and I was just realizing, Noah, this is, what do they call it? Kismet? I don't know. They have these sayings, you know, for what this is. Littles. Noah's episode was 208. Your episode number 208. This is episode 308.
Hey.
Oh.
How about that? Yeah.
Let's book ourselves for episode 408.
Yeah.
Well, maybe even before. We were just saying off air. It's been way too long.
Yeah, right.
But Littles, definitely go back. Check out his episode 208. You'll hear much more in depth about all of this.
Yes.
About what he does and, you know, also in reference to the Tony Kornheiser podcast and how you started making those appearances and stuff like that. And we know you're under a tight schedule. We just really appreciate you taking the time to come on for our special eclipse episode.
Yes.
And actually, you're the one that triggered all this. So we were like, oh, we're going to do an eclipse episode.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I really appreciate it. That's wonderful to hear.
Our pleasure. Anything else we should know last minute?
So during the eclipse, again, if you're in the path of totality, you might see Jupiter, Mars, maybe Mercury, maybe Venus. You might see a comet. In addition to the majesty that is the solar corona, the atmosphere of the sun. So it's a really spectacular show. If you're not in the path of totality and you have no interest in traveling in, you still will get a partial eclipse, which can be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And again, just book off a few hours Monday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon to soak it all in.
Amazing. And
around what time? Do we know?
Yeah. Well, we know. We know down
well,
to the second.
Know.
So,
done. Oh, yeah. Again, so, Chuck asked the dopey questions. Of course you know. It's your job to know.
So it's on the East Coast, you know, that's the I-95 corridor, right? So let's do East Coast-centric stuff right now. It's in the afternoon, starting around 2 p.m., peaking around 3 p.m., and then another hour for it to end. So it's a multi-hour thing.
Wow, yeah.
But during the path of totality, it's a few minutes, up to about 3 to 4 minutes. And so for those that are in that stretch from, you know, Mexico, Texas, up through the Great Lakes, that 3-minute period of time, again, around 3 p.m. Eastern, is the prime time.
All right.
All right.
Get your popcorn, as they say.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Well, no, we can't thank you enough again for coming on and doing this little
5 minutes or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been great. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And, you know, come back anytime you want. This is great.
Well, I mean, I would invite myself back all the time. I will gladly accept your invitation any opportunity I have. And I really appreciate you letting me hype this up a little bit more. And hopefully it's clear where you are, listeners, and you have a great show.
Yes. Yeah.
The only downfall was we didn't hear Uranus dropped in there. That was the only downfall to this whole event, but that's all right.
Oh,
next
well,
time.
I don't. Yeah, I think it would. We'll have to drop some Uranus knowledge in the next show.
All gotta, right.
Got to keep everybody wanting more. Right.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Sounds good, sir. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the time.
Our pleasure. Anytime.
Roxy, how great was that?
Oh, amazing.
So great to get back acquainted with him.
I know.
And for the special episode,
and
especially.
And for all that information.
Yes, information for life, mostly information for tomorrow.
Yes.
So please be careful out there. We're just getting started, though, Littles.
Uh-huh.
We've got tons of emails to get through. But first, we have a Meet the Littles guest. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
You're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the W. Hey, that's me. WTFC Podcast Network.
Well, the scavengers are circling my heart. It's been 50 days.
We are being played in this episode by a band called Johnny Unconscious and the Knockouts. And this song is called Scavengers, and it's featuring the artist named Atara. Now, if you like what you hear, you can find all of their stuff on Bandcamp and YouTube. Just head on over there and search Johnny Unconscious and the Knockouts. And as always, we will play the full song, Scavengers, at the end of the podcast. All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
I love when we just don't jump into these. We talk off air.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And I didn't even know where this one was from.
Right.
And so it was kind of neat because it's not far from where my parents retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked all about, you know, I played all over that area. And I love it because it's in another one of these states that don't really have pro teams. So I always enjoy those. So let's please welcome to the podcast, Kelly Park. Hey, Kelly. How's it going?
Hello, Chuck, Roxy. It's great to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, this is great. Now, you know what we normally do. We like to turn it right over to you. Why don't you take a second, introduce yourself to all the loyal littles out there. Tell us a little something about yourself.
All right. Name's Kelly Park. I live in Western Kentucky, which is in the far western part of the state. It's not Bowling Green. Bowling Green is South Central.
Chuck's a dope. We already made that mistake.
And born and raised here in a small community called Benton, Kentucky, and grew up in a great environment in the 60s and 70s with a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And we spent our time playing whatever sport happened to be in season at the time. We'd ride our bikes. We'd play out in the woods, build forts, and ride three-wheelers, four-wheelers, and whatever else we could hop on. Graduated from a high school called Marshall County High School, Marshall County Marshals. Went on to graduate from Murray State University as a safety and risk management consultant. Got married, have two kids, two granddaughters that I'm proud to say, two twins.
Aww.
That can't wait to see. They live 3 hours from us, so we miss them, and we enjoy the time we get to spend with them.
And say your major again at Murray State?
It is occupational safety and health.
Okay. I'm not sure what that is. What does that cover? Chuck's a dope.
What that means is I get paid to worry about stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, no. Perfect. All right. Yeah. Great.
So I am a safety and risk consultant for an insurance company.
And I
tour facilities. The company I work for now, we focused in the forestry industry. So I spend a lot of time in sawmills. And we help them with their risk management needs.
Yeah, you were saying you travel a lot for work. So yeah. I'm sure we'll get into that. Now, Roxy, didn't that sound lovely where he grew up?
It did.
Small town, played the sport. That was exactly my childhood.
Yep. I thought of you immediately.
So everyone always says, oh, you grew up in New York. I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
Not New York.
Yeah.
I grew up in New York. Upstate New York.
Yeah.
And on a farm. And we had three-wheelers, four-wheelers, exactly the same thing. We'd get off the bus from school. All the kids would come over to one of our places and we would play, you know, either baseball, football, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was just lovely. Mm-hmm. It really was lovely. You know, it has its benefits and its disadvantages. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of the odd ones that was couldn't wait to get out because it was so small.
Mm-hmm.
Careful what you wish for, folks, because now I'm in New York City and I hate it. But, you know, something in between would have been nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. So when you left college, did you get right into your job now?
I did. My wife and I, we got married my last semester in college.
Oh, okay.
And when we graduated, moved to Louisville, Kentucky, spent 8 years there. And we both had opportunities to move back home.
Mm.
And we took those opportunities and came back. That's been about 30 years ago.
Nice.
Now, before I went to college, I spent 3 years working construction, and I loved it. I loved running jackhammers and backhoes and sandblasters and just, you know, as an 18, 19 year old, that was great.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the uncertainty of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I ended up back in college.
That's so fun. That was totally my dad. My dad did the same thing, work construction.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, it's just uncertain. And so he went to police school and then my parents both became cops.
Yeah.
Now, is your wife originally from the small town as well?
She is.
Oh, wow.
She is. We met in high school.
Oh.
Been together ever since.
I always love those stories.
Sweethearts. I love that.
Yeah. All right, let's mix this up a little bit, Roxy.
Okay.
We're going to come back to some things because he did fill out the form.
Okay.
Okay, but let's get into your fandom of TK and why we're here and how you became a little and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So actually, a friend of mine called me one day. He said, man, you got to listen to Tony Kornheiser's podcast. And I think at that time he was still on Sports Talk 980. And they may have recorded the show and posted it later. I can't recall. But started listening to the TK podcast. And next thing I know, I don't know if you recall the old guy radio segment that he did. Well, my buddy bought me an old guy radio hat.
Oh.
And I've still got it hanging on my wall here. And I've just followed him every step that he's made. Just because I'm on the road so often, it really helps me stay off the phone as I'm driving.
Yeah.
That's not the only reason I listen to him. I listen to him really because I like his opinions and his views, and he forces me to think in a way that I wouldn't consider a topic or an idea otherwise.
Yeah.
And also I just enjoy his humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now let's get into something that is on, because I'm genuinely interested, because you didn't say anything about journalism. You didn't say anything about English. You didn't say anything about writing, but this clearly must be a hobby of yours because you have on the form here. Let's not bury the lead anymore. You have a couple books published.
That is correct. And I am the furthest person you will ever meet from being an author or a writer or a journalist or anybody that can put a coherent sentence together. Hence a plug for Grammarly.
Yeah.
I highly endorse Grammarly.
Nice.
But I've always been an avid reader, and my reading subject typically fell into the historical aspect of baseball. Mm. And I'd read several biographies of pre-World War II players, and I read a book called A Glory of Their Times, which anybody that likes baseball and reads a lot of books has read the book. And I just found the stories fascinating. And as I was looking for a similar book, I come across a review, and the review said, "This book is so well written, you feel like you're on the field with the players." And it may go to the reason I like Tony Kornheiser as well, is that my initial thought was, I don't have the talent to be on the field with these players. Mm-hmm. And my next thought was, but you know what? I've got a lot of great memories growing up playing youth baseball with my friends. I wonder what the pros' memories are. So I just started looking for the book and couldn't find the book. I searched the internet high and low, couldn't find the book. And I was looking for a new project, a new challenge. And I just decided, hey, why don't I do it? And I've got two cousins that are English teachers, and they'd be the first to tell you, Lord, it's a wonder Kelly graduated and got it out of English class. But I started doing my research. I had zero contacts in baseball. But through a 10-year project, I was able to interview 36 players. 28 of the players were major league players, some Hall of Famers, many All-Stars. Also, I interviewed four ladies from the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League.
Oh, my gosh.
And I interviewed four players from the Negro Leagues.
Wow.
And every single player was fantastic. And I've been asked several times, who's your favorite player? I can't answer that. Mm. Because there's not a single favorite. I mean, whether I was talking to Hall of Famers like Don Sutton, Whitey Herzog, Phil Negro, All-Stars like Boog Powell, Lou Piniella, or everyday players, you know, every single player had a story to tell, and it was just fantastic. A great adventure for me.
That is so
amazing. How great is that, Roxy?
Amazing.
I mean, right down to why you did it, because mm-hmm. it wasn't out there.
Right.
I had an interest.
Yeah.
It wasn't out there.
Yeah. So you created it. And I'm sure there are so many people out there who've thought the same thing and wondered the same thing, but you actually took action and got it done. That's amazing.
Yeah. And good for you for being so diverse about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a great idea to go across the lines of even to women's baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
League of Their Own, one of my favorite baseball movies, makes me cry every time. I have to leave the room with the whole Betty Spaghetti scene, but it's like, I loved learning about that.
But you hated
growing
the
up.
Ending, right? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little, you know, Hollywood,
the trade should have went the other way. Anyway, let's not get into League of Their Own, rewatchable League of Their Own.
That is so cool.
Now, that's fantastic. Now, is there another book out there?
Well, both books, it's
oh, it's a series.
A series of two,
gotcha.
Two volumes. I had so many stories that putting it in one book would just have been too much.
Yeah.
Right.
So the publisher and I, we decided to split it up into two, and I think it came out just exactly the way I would have liked it. Mm. You know, I get a lot of comments. Some people like the format. Others would have preferred the format set up a little differently. And in the end, when they asked me, well, why did you set it up that way? And I said, well, it was my book, and that's the way I wanted
Absolutely.
To do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my book. You want it? Write your own damn book, right?
Yeah, you're not going to please everybody as long as you're happy with it.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
So real quick before we take a break, and we'll obviously plug this at the end again, it's called Just Like Me, When the Pros Played on the Sandlot.
That is correct.
Yeah. And Littles, I hope you join the bracket contest, because I think that's going to be one of our prizes.
Yeah.
Because I can't wait.
How
Perfect
cool.
timing. Baseball season's almost
Thank goodness.
Here. Yeah, I know,
I'm
right?
so excited.
So, and like I said, it's justlikemethebook.com, but we'll plug all that at the end. Right now, we need to take a quick break. We got a lot more to get into. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Drove away a fan base, branded a fool. At last we say goodbye, you tool. sold his team. There's no more misery. We hope he rots out on his yacht to stay out of D.C. 24 years ago, he came and made us cry. That's why we hate this guy. Oh, Danny. Oh, Danny, there would be a waiting list to punch you in the face for all the pain, incompetence, a franchise you disgraced. So sail away for far away, and winners we could be. Oh, please just go away. Oh, Danny.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast. And Roxy, we're lucky enough to have Kelly Park here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we say, we take a break.
Yep.
Now, I had a thought while we were talking, and you were explaining, we were talking about some of the players you interviewed, and you were saying how they were all mostly older players. Yep. And it made me think, do kids play sandlot baseball today?
I don't know.
I mean, sure, Little League, thank goodness, is still out there. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, do the kids just get together and play ball? It's with all the computers and the internet.
They're just on their phones.
They're just on their phones, right? I mean, it's sad.
I don't know.
But
maybe in some places.
I mean, it doesn't happen here, but there's not really that much of an opportunity for them here in the city.
Yeah, in the city, right.
So maybe in places like where you are, Kelly, I don't know. But
not really.
Yeah.
No, sad. You pass by the city park, occasionally you'll see some kids out there playing. But, you know, even in small towns, the travel teams have really taken over. And once you get past T-ball, there's really not a lot of opportunities for kids to play. And two of the players I interviewed, they had their own baseball academies. And I asked them the question, what their thoughts were with regards to travel teams, baseball academies versus just kids going out and playing. And they gave me a sly smile. It's like, the travel teams has hurt the development of players. And one of my chapters is titled The Games We Played. And it's strictly stories of what the players did growing up playing whatever game it was they played with their friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many different, they called them different names. One player would call it wall ball. One would call it Indian ball. One would call it roller ball. But in the end, it was essentially all the same game. It just depended on what state they lived in as to what they called it.
Interesting.
Cool.
Is there still a game Pepper out there? I used to play Pepper as a kid.
And even the major leaguers still play
Pepper. Oh, they do? Okay, good.
That's one of the games they play. And you'll see them playing it before games.
Yeah. True.
You know, I did see an interesting stat the other day, as a matter of fact, regarding Little League, that Little League attendance or participation had went down over about a 10-year period. But over the past couple of years, they're starting to see it go back up again.
Oh,
it's
starting
to increase, which is great.
Yeah.
It's a great game. You know, it's not the immediate gratification that a lot of kids want to get right now, you know, but it's a fun game. It teaches strategy and teamwork and things like that. There's a lot of different ways you can look at playing sports, and it helps you develop what you're going to become when you play sports and you learn how to work collaboratively with people, being good friends, good teammates, having people's backs.
What I was trying to say is there's more to it than just can you hit the ball and throw the ball.
Right.
There's the development of, like you said, friendships and hard work, commitment.
Yep.
That's a big one, especially for us in softball these days here in the city. But I get it. They're adults. It's different.
Yeah.
But anyway, you also off air, you were telling a story about when you went to Miami.
Yes. So I had a lot of adventures tracking down these players. I interviewed in person a vast majority. Quite a few, you know, there were some that I interviewed by phone, but my oldest son and his wife, they were, their wedding was on a early July 2017 Saturday night, and the opportunity arose for me to fly to Miami and interview several players at the All-Star Fan Fest, which was going on right after the wedding. So we drove to, the wedding was in Owensboro, Kentucky. And when the wedding was over, the reception was over, we got everything cleaned up, I drove my wife back home to Kentucky here, or to Benton. And then I got in the car and drove to Nashville to fly to Miami. Needless to say, when I got to Miami and to the hotel lobby, I was looking pretty rough.
Yeah.
Had on some canvas tennis shoes, had on khaki shorts, a dry fit shirt, and had a backpack. And I walk in the lobby looking around, and I decide I'm going to go back in the back corner, walk back there, immediately am told to leave by Major League Baseball security. I wander around a little bit more, and then I failed to realize that I was being followed. And at a certain point, Mother Nature called, basically. So I had to track down the nearest restroom and went in the restroom. When I got done with my business, I turned around and looked, and there was three security guys just eyeballing me hard. And then I saw myself in the mirror, and I immediately realized these folks think I'm up to no good.
Oh, no.
So I quickly left the hotel lobby for a while, and I waited until my first interview was scheduled. And, you know, that's a whole story upon itself that would take another hour. But I had interviews set up with Louis Tiant,
wow,
Tony Oliva, and Burt Campaneris at different times in the day. Turns out their schedules would only allow them to meet with me at the same time. So I had the opportunity to interview all three of these gentlemen in a meeting room at the same time. And trust me, when you have three professional athletes whose native tongue is not English.
Right.
And my native tongue is barely English.
You speak Southern, we know. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yes. It was a joy and a chore. Let me tell you, trying to transcribe those interviews,
yeah,
it took me at least a month to get through those. But listen, the three of them, it was so interesting to see how their personalities played out in the interview. And I'm sure they played out the same way as teammates, where you had Louis Tiant more of the decider.
Mm-hmm.
His first question was, okay, what do you want? I mean, it was straightforward.
Yeah.
And then Tony Oliva, he was more of the teacher type, the thinker type. Okay, so you want this and you want to know that. And then Burt Campaneris, more of the teammate, where he was wanting to fill in the spaces that Mr. Tiant, Mr. Oliva, it was a really interesting dynamic to see how it was playing out.
So cool.
But yeah, I got some great stories from them.
That's amazing.
I know. You were followed.
I have to go back, though. Did the security guards ever say anything to you?
They didn't have to.
You just knew. You were like, okay.
I knew. Yeah, wow. I knew. There was three gentlemen in black suits.
Uh-huh.
Now, I will tell you this. The lead security, his name was Vincent Batista. He was assigned to follow Mr. Tiant.
Gotcha.
And so we're sitting there, and Mr. Tiant, he comes down, and I'm ready to interview him. This is when I thought we had separate times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and Mr. Batista, Vincent, he says, Louis is going to go eat with his family. And I said, okay, so what was I going to say?
Right, right.
I'm at their beck and call.
Right.
Yeah.
And Vincent says, hey, can you keep an eye on him? And if he leaves, you come and get me. He said, I got to go take care of some business.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to let him leave. I'll tackle him. Hell, I got to get this interview. I didn't fly down to Miami for no reason.
Yeah, right.
I'm empty-handed. So I got to know Vincent pretty well, and he helped me out a lot. And he's actually the one that helped me corral Tony Oliva and Burt Campaneris, and we got them all. He found me a room that was quiet that we could do the interview. So I have to give a lot of credit to Vincent Batista for helping me out there. You know, I think his crew was ready to throw me out in the beginning.
Well, and I was going to say, now you can put on your resume, Mr. Tiant's sub security guard.
Right.
There you go. Put that on your resume.
Exactly. That's a good point.
I'll
add that to the website.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, real quick, before we get to our fun, dumb questions, Kelly, I always like to ask this. Kentucky, no real professional sports, right? There's no, like, hockey team or something random. Okay, just want to make sure. So where does your fandom lie? What's your favorite sport? Is it baseball or what?
Yeah, and you're right. So when you have live in a state that has no professional sports, and Nashville being the closest city, which was 2 hours away, and growing up, Nashville didn't have a major professional
sport. They still don't.
So
they got the sound. But
with baseball, with the sounds, exactly. But with baseball, That was my favorite sport, and that's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
Big time St. Louis Cardinal fan. Football, growing up, and when I first started paying attention to sports, that was in 69, 1970, 71. And every time that the Miami Dolphins was shown on the NFL game, it was always sunny and it was always warm. Mm. And I'm sitting up here in cold weather.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the Miami Dolphins, with Larry Zonka, Jim Kick, Mercury Morris, Bob Greasy, Paul Warfield, the whole crew.
Wow.
With basketball, you know, we feel like University of Kentucky basketball is professional basketball.
Yeah, so, true. Yep.
So we have that. But for the NBA, I don't really have a favorite team. I always followed players. I followed Lou Alcindor, who became a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, he was one of my favorite players. Mm. Pete Maravich, Dr. J, all those players from the 70s.
Sure.
So bottom line is, St. Louis Cardinals is it.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, we can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles and telling these great stories. Now, we do have some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay.
Hey, well, I'm dumb enough to answer them.
All right. That's what we like to hear.
All right. If you could have dinner with anyone from history, who would you pick?
With history. So it's got to be someone that people know.
Not necessarily.
If I had an opportunity to have dinner with anyone from history, someone that I didn't know, it would be my dad's dad. He passed away at 49. I never met him. And obviously, I'd want my dad there, too. My dad was 40 when he got married. I come along a year later. I've got two younger brothers. The youngest one is 10 years younger than me. Dad was a World War II vet in the South Pacific, and he never told the stories that he experienced. But I think if I was able to come back, if I could get him to come back, I think I could get him to open up and tell me some of the stories. Mm. And I'd love to meet his father as well.
That's a great answer.
Yeah,
that's,
that is.
That's
yeah.
someone, same thing with me. I never got to meet my dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he passed before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, yeah, love it.
Hey, what talent or skill do you wish you had?
Oh, gosh. I wish I was a musician. I wish I could play the guitar and sing.
Yep. That's kind of Uncle Tony's.
And then I wish I could draw the album art from my album.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's a good answer. All right, Roxy.
If you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
Well, I tell you what, both of my sons were swimmers,
mm-hmm.
so I would be an Olympic swimmer.
Okay.
Excellent.
Cool.
I would need to grow about a foot to really compete, but that's where I'd be.
All right.
I have a feeling this is going to be an interesting one. What is the first major news story you remember as a child?
Watergate.
Ah. It's a good one. It's first, too, for us, I think.
What made me so mad about that, while I remember it, is because it preempted Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch and Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the one food you could never bring yourself to eat?
Well, I'll try just about anything. I'll tell you something that I did do when I... Do you recall, I don't know if y'all remember the old Popeye cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Well, and if you recall, Popeye, when he was in trouble, he would take that can of spinach and squeeze it open and just down that can of spinach and get super strength.
Yep.
So I just assumed as a 5-6-year-old.
Yeah. It was a nice trick, wasn't it?
That was a great trick. So I had my mom buy a can of spinach, open it up, and I just tried to eat it. And let me tell you, that's the last time that happened.
What a bunch of jerks, right? I did the same thing probably at some point. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That was false advertising.
Yep. Majorly false advertising.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I was more like, we brought this up about a month or two ago, Wimpy. I couldn't remember if that was the guy that ate the hamburgers, and I was right. But yeah, from Popeye.
That's funny.
Yeah, he would gladly pay you Friday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now, it sounded like you were a music fan, so let's do this one real quick. If you hosted Saturday Night Live, who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
Dead or alive?
Yeah, you could do one of each.
I'll tell you what, I would love to introduce Queen with Freddie on lead. And, oh boy, I would love to introduce Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Wow. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the Rat Pack? Do that?
The Rat Pack, wow. And then for a live, Rod Stewart.
Okay, cool.
That's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah, excellent. All right, real quick, Roxy, some rapid fire.
All right, Coke or Pepsi?
Bourbon.
Nice.
That's the right answer, sir. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
The Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family?
The Bradys.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper?
You can't go wrong with Barney.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Mr. Fife.
Yep.
Mr. Fife. Yeah. Mr. Furley. Fife.
Nice.
All right.
Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
I go smooth.
All right. Pancakes or waffles?
I have to go waffles.
Okay. I'm on a streak. Should we just let it go?
Let's ask.
We'll do it. All right. Do you like to put peanut butter on said pancakes or waffles?
I do not.
Excellent.
Have you ever heard of doing that?
Yes. I've actually done that, but it's not anything I will do again. I prefer some nice warmed up maple syrup.
Okay.
Roxy, if I'd known this, we would have rushed through the 200s to get to the 300s because they've been very good to check
here. I know.
Listen, Kelly, we can't thank you enough. These have been great stories. We really appreciate you taking the time. Take a quick second. Let's plug everything. Let's plug your books and tell everyone how they can get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with.
Sure. Chuck, Roxy, thank you for inviting me onto the show. This has been great. I've enjoyed it completely. And I've got two books, volumes 1 and 2, titled Just Like Me, When the Pros Played on the Sandlot. What it is, it's memories of former professional baseball players, memories of playing youth baseball. Interviewed players from major leagues. I interviewed ladies from the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And I had the great opportunity to interview 4 players from the Negro Leagues. And you can find it at the website, justlikemethebook.com. The book has its own Facebook page, and you can also find me on LinkedIn.
All right, excellent. Great. And we'll make sure we put all that in the show notes so everyone will know just how to do that.
Yep.
And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Over all the way.
Excellent.
Okay.
I kind of guessed. I love this. Started a little pep in my step for the day.
I know.
All right. Well, Kelly, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate the time.
I appreciate y'all having me.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
The Loyal Littles Podcast, in your ear, on the WTFC Podcast Network. Here's Chuck and Roxy.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Kelly Park, for coming on to Meet the Littles.
Yeah.
Such a very interesting, and these books, I've already gotten into them. He sent them to us already, really fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the, especially you baseball fans, you're going to really enjoy these. Let's see, who else? Oh, Joe Arrow, episode 3 for our jingle. Thank you, Sean Morrissey, episode 37 for our great bumpers this episode. All those great voices
I know.
So much fun. And let's get to the Rocks Box. But before we do, we just want to say,
turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit lonely, and you're never coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
That's where it goes. Turn around.
Yeah.
Come on, key change,
turn
Roxy.
Around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then, I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes. Now, this is interesting. We all know that's a Jimmy Steinman, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Now, I said, when Roxy said, can we do that because it's the Eclipse show?
Right.
I said, well, that's not from a Broadway show.
And I said, yes, it is.
Well, okay. She is correct. It was in the Broadway show Dance of the Vampire?
Yes, Vampires.
Dance of the Vampires, major flop. It starred Michael Crawford. Everyone thought it was going to be this big deal. Anytime someone does a Broadway show about vampires, it flops.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Well, it doesn't surprise me, but it ran 56 performances, which I was like, when we looked it up, I was like, that many? Because
I didn't think
it was even that many.
Mm-hmm.
But it was $12 million in loss, nothing compared to Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
2003. It closed in January 2003.
Yep. So anyway, so that goes with our thing of doing Broadway shows, I guess. Okay. Like we said, we got so much on the place setting stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the funny thing is, I've now gone up to our friends on the street or at bowling or whatever and just start at, I'm like, set the table. Show me how you set the table.
Uh-huh.
And I got to be honest, the first time we did it, not one, but two, the two people we were with, well, Sid was one of them.
Yeah.
We asked Sid, mm-hmm. and we were with another friend of ours, Danny, who we're going to get on as a third wheel.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of
great.
He thinks he's funny. We're going to find out. No, he is. He's very funny. But they both said they were with you.
Napkin
goes on the right.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you smoking? Yeah. I was like, no, that's not how it works. All right. Well, let's get to this one first, though, because I thought this was funny because up north, they've been having a little weather. Even in upstate New York, got hammered with some snow.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So we got a picture. Kristen LeBlanc, episode 176, I believe he posted this. It's very funny, actually. It has a picture of a lobster with a holding a sign saying, "I was right." And it says, "Looks like we should have listened to Lucy the Lobster on February 2nd. I mean, we all made fun of this lobster that predicts. And apparently the lobster, Lucy, predicted more winter.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe it. And, well, I know. It's not that I didn't believe the prediction. It was more that I can't believe you all listened to a lobster.
Right.
But I guess we should
have. Although they could say, "I can't believe you listened to a groundhog."
That's true. That's very true. You know? Yeah. Well, the Canadians, they have that funny money up there.
Funny money?
Yeah. Funny money. All right. Lee Gordon, episode 80, in a historic first, first, Chuck is right and Roxy is wrong.
No.
Napkin goes on the left unless you're using a napkin ring. We didn't even think about that.
What?
Yeah. You know what a napkin ring is, yeah. Right? That's more for the fancy schmancy stuff, though.
Yeah. Doesn't we very that clearly then go said, on the plate?
This is for burger, fries, and a vegetable.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Uh-huh. Anyway, then it goes on the plate, as you just said.
Right.
Never on the right.
Huh.
Forks on the left, knives to the right of the plate, and spoons to the right of the knives.
Okay.
Google Play settings and look at the pictures. Now, okay, fair enough.
Great.
Then we hear from Smitty Scoop. Fork on the left, knife and spoon on the right. Is there any other way?
I mean, clearly there's a lot.
I don't think so, but, well, we're going to get to those. So we had tons of these. Yeah. You have a few, right?
I do.
Go ahead.
All right. This is from Rick Franzosa, episode 252. Hi, Choxie. Notes on episode 307. 1. I had a great deal of trouble remembering which side the napkin goes on. Spoiler alert, left. In my case, my mother was left-handed but forced to do everything right-handed early in life, as that is how schools dealt with left-handed children in the 1920s. So, the table was set differently day to day when I was growing up, and not just the napkin. 2. My grandmother was not a Mets fan, but a rabid Red Sox fan. After my grandfather passed, my grandmother was very depressed, but only from October to April. Once baseball season started, she was glued to the TV. Her next-door neighbor in Arlington, pronounced Arlington, was a fireman and looked after my grandmother as necessary. One night, he heard screaming and moaning and feared the worst. He pounded on Nana's door. She answered it and explained that she was watching the Sox. 3. Bonus question. Sentence in the Big Show, but not read. When does Flush the Mouse jump the shark? And will Eric Lonergan, episode 4, immortalize it with a cartoon? Asking for a friend.
Ooh.
Rick 252 Franzosa, now retired. Cincinnati, Ohio. P.S. Vocal fry.
Okay, that's what I was trying to think with The Bachelor.
Uh-huh.
The
Daisy.
One, drove me crazy. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard it. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was glottal fry, I think is the term I heard.
Oh, okay.
But vocal fry, you're right.
Yep.
Yeah. When you talk like this, and you can't talk. I'm like, just take a damn breath. Take a deep breath and support from the diaphragm so you can't talk. Stop. I mean,
That sounds so creepy.
Roxy, if I did the whole show like this, how would you feel? Would you
quit.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Quit That's what I might.
That was the whole episode of The Bachelor. And I was just like, it was driving me crazy. I'm like, oh, anyway, and that's what I was seriously thought. I was I could never date someone like that, much less marry them. Anyway.
But congratulations, Rick, on retirement. That's amazing.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Congratulations on The Bachelor. Being engaged for 5 minutes, and we'll see what happens. All right. As we say, voice memos. Send in the voice memos.
Words I never thought I'd hear myself say. Roxy, you're wrong. Chuck is right on this one. The napkin goes on the left.
Whoa.
Come on now.
Oh, hey.
Come on.
The littles have spoken. That was, of course, Dave Patton, episode 69.
Yep.
Should we get the voice memos out of the way?
Yeah.
Let's do another one.
Chuck, you were 100,000%. Well, no, I can't say that because I'm a mathematician. Chuck, you are 100% correct. And I completely agree with you and not with Roxy.
Whoa. Now, is that...
Dina!
I know, right? How dare she? Now, the funny part is she didn't say about what. So we're gonna keep that.
Okay.
I'm going to put that on every little thing I say now. Because she never really actually got into what we were... No, it's about the fork and knife.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I... think this is, let me do one more. We've got others. Choxie, all of the silverware goes on top of the napkin to the left of the plate. Now, see, I disagree with that. In full disclosure, I pretty much only ever use the spoon as I shovel the food down my gullet. Clemmergast, episode 295 from Norwegian Soft Kitten, of course.
Yes.
So we've got many different ones.
Yeah.
Many, many different ones.
Right.
All right, let's do a couple more.
Okay. Dear Choxie, multiple things happened during silverware chat in episode 307. First, fork left, knife inside right, spoon outside right. Second, I think Roxy said, I figured out what you prefer, so I just, like, put it there for you. Do I need to plug my burning ears? I'm a delicate flower, and I just can't handle this racy content. Is it getting warm in here? Tim Cray, Fort Collins, Colorado, episode 107.
Should we put the adult content on this episode?
Yeah, maybe. So, oh, my gosh.
All right, and I think this is hilarious. This is even leaked down to your workplace,
yes.
Roxy.
Well, first of all, I think we got another listener.
Oh, okay.
Client in person the other day. Well, I've met her before, but she came to the studio, and, you know, I was telling her about the show, and she started listening, and I got this message from her about, you know, scrolling through and listening. So she listened to our latest 307, and she said, and the napkin does go on the right.
Oh, okay. Well, that she's just sucking up to you, I think.
No.
No, I'll admit, like we said, Sid said that. But my favorite one, I think, was Todd Decay, episode 115.
Okay.
I always thought left, but I'm a lefty when I eat. And the interwebs say it doesn't matter as long as you're consistent. I like it because it's very 2024, but I do think it matters. I don't think it matters as much as the toilet paper, but I would more equate this with the cereal question. Meaning, do you put your milk in the bowl or on top of the cereal? Like, what you put in the bowl first?
Oh, the cereal.
But that's that question.
Right.
I'd rate it on that level as opposed to, like, as much as, I don't know. But we've gotten some really good ones. We heard from a new listener. I think it's Patricia Barrel. I don't know. You can correct that by coming on to Meet the Littles.
Right.
She just said, maybe you didn't take home ec in school where you learn all kinds of etiquette. Napkins are traditionally placed on the left. Sorry, Roxy.
I did take home
ec. I did too.
But
I don't think they taught us that, though.
All I learned was how to sew and how to cook. I didn't learn how to set a table.
Well, and I also, like I said, I also think this has to do with regular standard dinner. That we're not talking about an etiquette or dinner party or anything like that. So. All right, and you've got the next one.
Dear Choxy, just listened to you recap The Bachelor and wondered if you have seen the TV show Unreal. If not, you have to watch it. It's a drama of the making of Bachelor, Bachelorette type shows. It is brutal, so Roxy may not like it as it could ruin her rose-colored glasses of The Bachelor.
Ooh.
But I think you would love it, Chuck. Chuck, episode 290.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we might have to check that out.
I mean, I don't I've think it would ruin The Bachelor for me, because I think I know some of the behind the scenes things that happen. So I think it would be kind of interesting to see what this show has to
offer.
We'll
have to check it out.
Okay. I mean,
you know, because we have no TV to watch, you know, nothing to watch.
The legal pad is full.
Yeah, right. All right. One more. And then we have an announcement. Dear Choxy, I'm sorry, but Roxy lives in a fantasy world. I have never seen the napkin on the right. Additionally, checking multiple websites for wedding venues and looking over the pictures, plus just Googling how do you set a table, all yield the same result, napkin on the left.
I don't buy it. I really don't. No one has seen it on the right. I mean, one person defending me?
Well,
I don't believe it.
Well, you had more than one.
Okay, a few.
Well, you had Danny,
couple?
You had Sid, you had...
Right, a
okay.
few.
All
Come
right,
on.
Well, he continues. Now, my lovely wife and I went out to eat the other night, and the napkin was on the plate, but not on the right. I think Roxy has lived a very sheltered life. She likely set the table as a kid incorrectly, and her parents just didn't have the heart to tell her it was wrong.
No.
I bet we're going to hear about that.
Yeah, we better.
So the entire house has lived this life where the napkin goes on the right. Chuck, learn from this. Then it says, earthquake. Now, we didn't even talk about that.
No, we didn't.
We did not talk about the earthquake. Woke Chuck up here. You didn't feel it at all.
No.
You were in B&H, you said?
Yeah, I was walking home from work, and I stopped at B&H, the photography video store, to pick up some solar
glasses for
eclipse
tomorrow.
Glasses.
We're doing the responsible thing.
And I go to the cashier, and she was like, did you feel that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, there was an earthquake. And I'm like, what? When? And she was like, you didn't feel it? I said, no. Maybe my watch was buzzing a little bit. So maybe it buzzed when it happened because I didn't feel anything.
Yeah. Well, he says earthquake. Yes, my town was the center of the 4.8 earthquake on Friday. The enjoyable part of it was watching the 15 news teams from New York City and Philly all setting up shop and interviewing some of the craziest people that live here. One woman invited the film crew into her garage to show them the damage the quake did. I swear the damage was a crack in the driveway that had been there for 15 years at least.
Oh, dear.
Another interesting aspect of the quake was how everyone thought something crashed into their house. We literally live in the middle of nowhere. The only way a truck or a bus is crashing into that house is if it's their own. A more likely scenario is that their turducken blew up in their deep fryer. Episode 178, ABTAHS. We will not do better the next time unless Chuck comes clean and admits he doesn't even use a napkin.
Oh, no. He uses several. He uses several.
Roxy,
I always set extra out for
him. My business?
Because you know what, Chuck? No one's coming to my defense except for the slim few, and I need something here.
Yes, I use multiple napkins.
And also, Brandon, I'm glad that you're okay. Yeah, I'm glad your family is safe. I mean, 178. Oh. You know what I mean.
Yes, we're very glad. We checked in.
Hopefully one day I'll get your
Yeah, someone posted
score.
That. I think it was maybe it was episode one, said something like, today we know that Lebanon, New Jersey has now been known for something besides episode 178.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Then we end with this. Chuck and Roxy, we sold out the first 21 tickets for the Nats Brave game on Saturday of Little's Palooza. I do note with considerable consternation, however, that Chuck and Roxy are not among those on that list. After some PR from episode one, we have now distributed a bunch more. So we now have expanded our block to 45 tickets with only 17 left. One, you two need to reserve your seats by logging into Dina's website, dinadamascus.wix. Just go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Go to ours, click on the thing at the top. It says Little's Palooza. Then it says join us. It'll take you right there. You don't have to worry about this dinaanddamascus.wixsite.com/little. You don't have to do that. Okay? Then B, after you do so, please spread the word that there are more seats now available. Well, that's what we're doing right now, Ed.
Yes.
Okay. Edbutt 76, 51.
Yeah.
P.S. In reviewing the list of attendees, I note several names are not yet associated with an episode number. Well, see, that's the whole thing. We're not going to reserve until those people contact us about getting their Chuck and Roxy number. That's why we're holding out here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the real reason. We can't have attendees to this with no Chuck and Roxy number. So we're going to wait as soon as everyone has a Chuck and Roxy appointment.
Yeah.
We're taking appointments for now.
Okay.
And then we can reserve ours. You know, that's how it works. Now,
okay, Chuck.
That's not the we're figuring it out. That's all we can say. We're trying to figure it out.
We're figuring out if we can get down there.
Yeah, exactly.
At all.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's all the email we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what everyone's really been waiting for. Hello.
Bracket
name challenge. Okay. So the Loyal Littles Podcast bracket challenge. These are the names. We are narrowing it down to the big two.
Final two.
Is it final two?
I think it's final two.
I say big. Yeah. All right. Final two. Whatever. You're right.
The championship game.
Because it's Elite Eight. I always say Big Eight.
The Elite Eight, the Final Four. Oh, maybe it could be.
It's not.
It could be anything.
All right. Sure. It's whatever we
want.
The
last two.
As long as we're consistent, right?
Yes.
Mr. Takei. Okay. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Here we go. These are in random order. Okay. We haven't watched one game. And the other one, Roxy, is
Mr. Roper's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cups Down.
Yes. So those are our final two. We will announce our winner on the next episode.
Yes.
And the two Cinderella stories, Smashy Von Sausage, totally not Ritz Wink. I mean, great runs.
Yeah,
great runs this year in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Maybe next time.
I mean, Smashy Von Sausage came out of nowhere.
I know.
And I did. I wanted to look these up. I still haven't looked up the final two, but Smashy Von Sausage was Meredith Bootsy, episode 160. Great job in that.
Yeah, amazing.
And then totally not Ritz Wink. I mean, I'm still not convinced it's not Ritz, but according to the ESPN website, it is Jamie Armada, episode 153.
Nice.
So congratulations, you two, making the Final Four. That's huge.
That's huge, yeah.
Out of almost 300 entries. I mean, that's really great.
Yep.
So, haven't watched one game, and Mr. Roper's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cups down. Final two. Like we said, the winner will be decided by the third wheels.
Yes.
Okay, not just us.
Yep.
And we'll announce that next episode.
Can't wait.
Yeah. All right, Roxy, that's all the time we have. Let's get out of here. But real quick, thanks, Kelly Park, again, for coming on to Meet the Littles. And Noah Petro for coming on and five mediocre minutes. It was more than five, but we didn't care.
Yeah, giving us all that info.
Yeah, so be careful tomorrow. Get your glasses.
Yep.
And have fun tomorrow watching the eclipse. It's like 3:30-ish Eastern time.
Eastern time.
That's the
max.
Well,
yeah, for New York.
It's going to start like around 3, I think. Well,
for
before
us.
That, actually. Yeah,
yeah,
for us in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
so.
Google it.
Google it. Have fun and just be careful. That's all. And Roxy, tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
Including the stuff for Little Palooza.
Yes.
While you're there, sign our guest book.
And also while you're there, if you're going to Little Palooza and don't have a Chuck and Roxy number yet, use our website, make an appointment.
Absolutely. You can do that right all there on the website. That's the easiest way and the best way for us.
Yes.
And we'll get in touch with you and set up a time so you can get your Chuck and Roxy number.
Yeah.
And if you need a book, Roxy,
go to aaronsbooks.com.
And the most important thing is in the comment section during checkout, don't forget to
use the code
LLPOD. That's the code, people. Use it.
Bye.
Bourbon.
Well, the scavengers are circling my heart. It's been 50 days now that we've been apart. Got those wheels up to wheel down blues. There's no one else standing in my shoes. But the world is all wide, a wide open ride. We both spoke our minds and we signed on the dotted line. But we gotta keep moving.
Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
I don't buy it.
Oh, yeah.